Hey guys, how you doing? It's Craig here. I want to thank everybody for taking the time out to listen to my podcast. Really do appreciate it. So the first interview that we're going to be listening to today is Vivian Vadger. But firstly, we have a Facebook page. We also have a WeChat page. If you would like to give us your feedback, if you would like to give your opinion on what we could do better, to the podcast, please send messages there. All you have to do is just search the Tell Craig Your Story and you'll be able to find me. If you're also a business and you would like to promote your business on air, please also private message me. All right, so here is the interview that I did with Vivian Vadger on Tell Craig Your Story podcast. How are you doing?
Hello.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thanks for having me here.
No worries. No worries. 14-time world champion. 14-time world champion. These are some quotes from what I've researched online. The world's best jump rope, actor, singer, doesn't like when pandas are asleep.
Where did you get that from?
And six can speak six different languages. Is this all true?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the actor part is a bit exaggerated, but yeah, I did some commercials. That's true. I shooted some commercials. And actually, it turns out to be that I am more than 14 times world champion.
Really?
But I didn't know about that. But yeah, because I recently got like an official letter or like a certification from the international organization, how many titles I have and so on. And then I just recently knew that, oh, I actually have more than 14 times world champion titles. So
so then officially, how many?
I have no idea. I just know I have more. I started counting and then after, you know, 15, 16, I was like, oh, whatever.
That is amazing. And singing. Tell me about your... You started singing at a very young age.
Yes.
Tell me about this.
So that actually happened when I was living in Hungary. I was born and raised in Hungary. And when I was about 10 years old, we moved to a city, to the capital city. And I had a really nice music teacher. And she was actually the one who realized I have a nice voice. So she started training me more and more. And then one day she showed up to my father and she said, like, hey, you know that your daughter can sing? And my dad was like, who? My daughter? Vivian? No way, no way. And then she was like, yes, your daughter. And then he looked at my teacher and he said, like, you know, Vivian is a little girl, like the tiny one. Like, are you talking about her? And then she said, yes, like, we are going to make a gala show. And the Hungarian president is invited and your daughter is going to sing a Latin solo for the Hungarian president. So, yes, I'm talking about your daughter, the little one, Vivian. And my dad was like, oh my God, I didn't know. Oh, if I knew that my daughter can sing, I would never tell her to shut up in the car when I was driving. And my dad was like, oh my God, my daughter, you know, and he was super proud. And of course, I was very happy too, because I loved singing, you know, but before I was like, I wasn't quite sure and so on. So I was just very happy and very lucky that I had that teacher, you know. And of course, when the day came, the big day, and I was singing for the Hungarian president, it was just a huge thing for me, you know, because we were in a big theater. And there were so many people, and I was the little girl, you know, standing in the middle of the stage singing over there, you know. It was just a huge thing, and my teacher was so proud, you know, like standing in front of me and like, yes, keep singing, you know. So it was a huge deal for me. And I still remember when my dad was filming and we reviewed the video.
Yes.
I could see the video was totally shaking, you know, because my dad was so nervous, you know, and he was so emotional for me. So like, I could literally, hear him sipping, you know, like, you know, and shaking the camera. So it was actually a big deal, you know. It was a really good moment in my life. And then we moved back to a small town, and of course my parents signed me in to the music academy to learn to play piano and sing at the same time. So I studied singing for about 7-8 years in the music academy and piano as well. However, my piano skills, they really are very bad, because I really had no interest at all in playing piano.
Yes.
Because I couldn't play those songs that I wanted, you know. They really wanted me to play the very old classic songs,
yeah,
which were a little bit heavy for me.
Yes.
So I had no interest at all. So that's why my piano skills were very bad. However, singing was always something that I always enjoyed. So I used to sing rock, I used to sing musicals, opera sometimes, and pop songs. And I also used to have a band, like a band of 5 girls.
Nice.
And then we used to do shows here and there in Hungary, in Austria, and different events. It was really fun. We really had a lot of fun. And at a point, we were actually thinking of going to Hungary's Got Talent, or, you know, something like that, which was popular at that time, you know. But then one of my bandmates, she got on drugs, and then unfortunately the band fell apart. And then that was the time I was like, okay, well, screw it. I'll just keep doing my jump rope thing, because I didn't see any hope anymore.
Yes, yes. So yeah. a bit more of a hobby than a sort of career,
yeah,
career path.
Yeah, but it's all right.
Yes, I can remember too, yes, something very, very similar as well with my former band in Australia. We had that whole drug, not me, but a band member, you know, just couldn't take control of it. And I got to a stage where we just had to say, you know,
it's
what?
Enough.
Yeah, it's enough. So, and you were also saying before about your dad being so proud, and how did she become a famous, you know, such a good singer? It was the same with my mother as well. Like, she'd come and watch me play, and I'd bring out a CD, and then I'd bring out a second CD, and then I'd bring out a third CD. Where are you getting this? How do you, like, none of the family play an instrument. How do you... And it's just, you know, it's something that it just comes, you know, natural. Sometimes you ever have it, or...
Yeah.
You know, if you want to do it...
it's a blessing from life, right?
That's right, yeah, you want to do it. So, languages, 6 languages. I don't have any... English is my only language. 6 languages. How difficult is it to learn 6 languages?
I'm very passionate about learning things, and I quite like challenges, you know? And the other thing is, I was quite lucky to be born in an international family. My dad is Hungarian, my mother is Brazilian. But at the same time, my dad was adopted by British couples. So my dad had really good English. And when I was born, of course, my parents, they only spoke English to each other, as they didn't really know each other's language quite well.
Right.
So I grew up speaking English. And then by time, my mother taught me Portuguese, and my father taught me Hungarian. And then there was a time we used to live in Austria, so I learned some German.
Wow.
And then when I got to high school, I learned French besides English. And then when I came to China, I learned Mandarin. So yeah, that's how I ended up speaking so many languages.
And how is your Mandarin at the moment?
Is quite good. I mean, I can talk with anyone on a daily basis. Of course, if it's like really serious topic, like if we're talking about business, or, you know, like something really serious, you know,
yes,
of course I won't be able to talk and negotiate these things. But if it's like day-to-day things, you know, like metro station, where to go, how to go, or what I would like to buy and stuff like that, so I can have a conversation with anyone, you know. Even if it's about teaching and stuff like that, you know, like for normal conversation, it's okay. But when it gets to like a, you know, more serious, higher level, then I'm like, okay. Or sometimes I just mix it. You know, I'm just in hope that somebody can speak English. So I mix the Chinese and the English and make a full sentence of it. And they're like, And if I'm lucky enough, there's somebody who can speak English, then they will understand what I mean. Because I, you know, I just, if there's some word that I cannot say in Chinese, then I'll just, you know, switch it to English. And did you understand it? Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Yes, the whole language thing. I've been here. How long have you been here now for? China?
Well, nonstop is 1 year.
1 year.
But I actually came to China. My first time to come to China was back in 2013. And then from 2013, I came here every year for two to 3 months. Yes, because of my sport. Right. They were asking me to help and teach and so on. And I said, okay, if I'm already here, why not learn Chinese? So in 2016, I actually stayed a half year and I studied Chinese for 4 months. But since I was meeting Chinese people every day and I was coaching Chinese people and especially Chinese children, so I practiced a lot more than I would in school. And then that's how I ended up learning more and more Chinese.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Isn't it? I just think it's amazing how big China is, and you got Mandarin, but then if you go into the south, people
Cantonese
and they can't speak
different dialects everywhere. Yeah,
they can't speak Cantonese.
It's just funny because, you know, when foreigners come to China, they don't understand how is it possible. But at the same time, you know, when you live in China, you actually kind of get the connection and you can compare with different countries. Like, for example, you take a look at Europe, right? Now, let's say Europe is not a continent. Let's say Europe is a country. Now, within Europe, there are different countries, which we can say compared to China, those are different, how do you say them? Like there is a Shanghai and then there's Guangdong and, you know, like different...
Like Shanghainese?
Yeah. Like different areas, you know? So... It's the same thing with Europe. Like when you go to Europe, there are so many different countries, so many different areas. In each country you go, they speak different languages. However, they use English as a common language to speak with each other.
Yes.
So this is the same thing with Chinese and China. You know, each way you go or each region you go, they have different dialect, they have different language, which, you know, it doesn't even seem similar or sound the same to each other. However, they use Mandarin as the common language to be able to communicate with each other.
Yes, yes. It's amazing how they can communicate. All right, so let's get back to here.
Yeah.
Panda's asleep. I think it was on your Instagram. I saw a picture of you taking a photo with a panda. Did you actually get to see any pandas awake?
Yes, because I was making weird noises until they woke up. I was just, you know, he was sleeping over there. And I wasn't sure, like, okay, is he dead or is he just asleep? Because he wasn't moving at all, you know? Like, you know, actually, when you see an animal sleeping, you can see them breathing, you know? You can see, like, how their body, you know, move because of their breathing. But those two over there, like, I couldn't see anything. I'm like, are they dead? What is it? What's happening over there? Like, or, you know, is it a ripoff? We bought the tickets and then we see dead animals, or what is it, you know? So I was making weird noises, you know, to get their attention. And eventually one of them woke up. I'm like, okay, you're alive. That's good. Okay, go back to sleep.
Yeah. I went to, was this in Shanghai?
Yeah, it was in Shanghai, in the zoo.
Yes, everybody told you, like, Chengdu is the place to go to see the pandas.
Yeah.
So my old company had some work there for me. So I had the one day off in Chengdu and I was like, okay, let's go see the pandas. And I was so excited. And half a day, I did not see one panda awake. They were all asleep. And I was like, even the babies, like, they were just like, asleep. So I guess you got it to the right time at the right place. But going to Shanghai, you know, I saw one, you know, eating, and the little baby was like climbing up the tree and then falling down and then getting me up. Yeah, it was super, super cool. Pandas asleep. All right. So the big question that I always get with my friends and family, and I still get it, is why did you decide to settle down in China?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, I like, in general, I really like traveling. I like to go to different countries, meet different people, and I just like experiencing, you know, because I believe that the more you travel, the more you learn. And if you spend time with local people and not within people that you know, a certain group, like if you really spend time with local people, you will actually understand more about the country.
Yes.
You will understand more about their mindset, and you will actually get to learn a lesson, because, you know, each country, each culture has something to teach. And I think it's very important for us if we really want to understand each other as human and understand the world, we actually have to meet those people and try to connect with them, respect them, and try to be involved in their culture so we can actually understand them well. And we know, like, why they think that way. And what is that we can share with each other? What is that we can learn, and what is that they can learn? So we can make a better place together, and we can live in peace together.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting because I don't know about other places in the world. You've been to lots of places yourself. But in Australia, when mm-hmm. I say that, you know what, I've made a decision, I'm going to pack up and move to China.
Right.
What? What? What?
Why? Why?
Why? There's so many other places you can go to. But it was time for a change. And
China is a very big country, you know, and there's just so many mysteries, so many things that you can learn, you know, because, if you go to certain place of China, it doesn't mean, you know, all China. Like, you have to travel the whole thing, because each region of it has different culture, different mindset. And, you know, I just think it's very beautiful that although it's one big country, still there's so much variety.
Of course.
And there's so much thing that they can offer, you know? And it's a very fast-growing country, and, their economy is getting better and better. So there's a lot of things that we can learn from them. And so that is one of the reasons why I want to go to China. I wanted to go to China to experience, see what is happening, you know, and how can I learn from people over there. And also, I was always very interested in Asia, and I was always very interested in learning languages. So, you know, I thought that if I can learn Chinese, I can learn any other language.
That's because
right. Chinese is so difficult. It's extremely difficult. It's like a secret code when you look at their writings.
Yes. It's very, very difficult. So, like living in China, have you changed your sort of... your
habits?
Your like fitness, like your diet, training, has that changed since you've moved to China?
Pretty much. You know, I was lucky at some point because my parents, they always taught me and they always educated me to be healthy, to be careful of what I'm eating and be careful of my habits. But actually, when I came to China, that's when I realized that what they're eating is their medicine. Eat your food as it was a medicine. Yes. And don't eat your medicine as it was your food.
Right.
You know? Right. And many Western countries do the opposite way. They eat a lot of food, okay, they are very tasty, but at the same time, they don't realize that the food that they're eating is actually a poison, you know? It's like slowly they are destroying themselves, and then later on in life, they have to take heavy medicines, heavy medication, and eat them as if it was their food, because they just kept destroying their bodies. Mm. I mean, it's okay to eat tasty things, but at the same time, you know, you need to know your limits, and you need to know, like, okay, how good is that for my body? Because I can understand, not all healthy food is delicious. I totally know that, and I get that.
Mm.
But if you find your way how to cook it, how to combine it, you know, then you can actually, you know, live well off, and you can actually enjoy what you're eating. It's just like chemical engineering. I believe that cooking is like chemical engineering. You know, you just keep mixing it. You mix the good stuff until something good comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you like Chinese food? Even before you come here, were you a fan of the hot pot and the noodles and the...
You know, this is a funny thing, that when you're in a foreign country, you think you're eating Chinese food, but then you realize it's not Chinese food at all, you know? It has nothing to do with Chinese food.
Definitely not.
It's more like a Western food in Chinese way, you know? Yeah. Like, I did some soy sauce and some sugar and whatever, some chili, and then that's it. You know, it's basically you're eating Western food, but it's like a little bit slimier or taste of, you know, add some Chinese spices to it.
Yeah.
But Chinese food is very different. So when I first time came to China, I was like, what is this food? This is not how Chinese do their food. Like, this is not Chinese food. Like, what food did you give me? No, this is Chinese food. Really? You know?
Yeah.
So it was very different. But of course, yeah, there are dishes that I like and there are dishes that I dislike. But that's the same thing to my country. You know, every country you go, there are dishes you like and there are dishes you dislike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. When we first met, well, it was maybe 4 or 5 months through business.
Uh-huh.
We were talking, and one of the first things that you talked about was teaching English and having like a jump rope,
mm-hmm.
and having physical education to be a part of learning English.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you want to bring, something that you want to do in the future?
It is possible, yeah. You know, I just think whatever opportunities come in your way, whatever good opportunities, because, you know, you shouldn't take the bad ones, but whatever good opportunities, you know, show up in your way, you should grab it and do the most you can. And I think education nowadays is very important. I mean, it was always important, but I think education is very important. And, you know, a lot of people, they invest a lot of money to, you know, teach or learn math and stuff like that, and learn different subjects. But at the same time, when it comes to languages, some of the kids, they're not interested in learning languages, but actually languages are the things that keep us people connected to each other internationally.
Yes.
So languages are very important. They're just as important than any other subject.
Yeah.
And same time, physical exercise is also very important, because that's what keeps you healthy. So your mental health is through what you learn, and your physical health is through how you exercise.
Yes.
So both of them are equally very important, because when you go to schools, you see a lot of kids learning, and, you know, they learn many different things, which is very good. But at the same time, because we're now in modern days, when they get home, or when they're in school and they have break time, they don't go out in the yard and play football, and, you know, they don't play like a normal child. They just sit down on their phone or in front of their computer and they play games.
Yes.
You know? So recently people are getting more and more sick, and there are more and more clients in the hospital, which is very good for the doctors and for those who sell, you know, medication.
Yes.
So I just suggest if it keeps going this way, then I just suggest for the students, for the future, you know, generation, to learn to become a doctor, because that will be a good field in the future.
Yes.
Or a pharmacist.
you won't have any trouble not having a job. Or...
Yeah.
So, and we also talked about something that we have in common too. And I remember when I was in primary school, that, and I couldn't believe when you told me that the jump rope for heart is still a business and it's going internationally. I can't believe that, because I told you the story before, how when I was in primary school, I thought it was the greatest thing ever, having a couple of people come in, into the school, and doing all these amazing jumps, and having the long rope and the short rope and doing all these jumps, not like to
all
your extreme
kind of exercises,
and it's like, wow, this is so cool. Next day you'd show up and there'd be 600 kids with jump rope, you know, in the playgrounds. So tell me about that jump rope for heart. How did you get involved with that program?
Well, actually, I just got involved mainly in jump rope, not really in jump rope for heart. I know them and I have the connection. However, I am mainly focused on the competitive jump rope. I didn't really get involved with this area. However, I know that jump rope is extremely important and very good for our health, because For example, only 10 minutes of skipping it equals 30 minutes of jogging. So that's how effective it is. And, you know, every age group can do it, you know, from the age of 3 to the age of 70s, you know, people can do it and exercise it. And it doesn't require much space. And also it doesn't, you know, you cannot blame it to the weather. Like, oh, I cannot go out running because it's raining. You know, you just stay in your room. You need a small space and you just jump rope and that's it. If you want it, you can take it seriously and go into the competitive level. But if you don't want to, you just use it as a fitness exercise.